Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Wilmore's finest, Bronte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take it out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Brett Ford, Lamar trying to make magic happen. Throw it in zone. Likely to be down. Two and the wind.
Let's make sure.
Oh,
very close.
Oh.
Is there enough to overturn?
Oh, that's on. That's on the line, isn't it?
That's a toe. Bye.
Oh, baby, football is back. And let me just say, Mike Tirico, you are the man. He set that whole play up by saying, and the first game of the season comes out to the final play in the 105th season of the NFL. And then you get that call, and you get that play, and you get that drama. A toe keeps the Baltimore Ravens from possibly tying or winning the game. They were going to go for two, so they're going for the win there. And just like that, folks, football is back. As we say good morning to everybody out there getting off their graveyard shift, all the overnight dancers in Kansas City, you know they made some money. I don't know about here in the Bay Area. Maybe on Monday night. But good morning to everybody out there, teachers, students, high school football teams getting ready to roll, volleyball teams, and the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs. Let me just say this real quick, Shash, before you get in here, because you got the stone cold looking at me. I know they hate watching. I know. And get your mic on, because I'm going to kick it to you in a second. When Kansas City had the pregame pageantry with all the Super Bowl banners, and there's Clark Hunt at the end. This one's for you, Kansas City. And there's four banners there on the field in three in the last 5 years. I freaking tweeted, and I felt like this. I said, you know what? Now I'm pissed off. Because we should have been at Levi's Stadium for a football game on Thursday night, playing either the LA Rams, playing the Cowboys, or something. Probably would have been the Cowboys. And Kansas City is celebrating the Super Bowl. And just, did anybody think they were going to lose yesterday? You're watching that game. Rashee Rice is a bona fide number one now. Xavier Worthy, the human joystick, is another toy for Andy Reid. They don't even have Hollywood Brown yet. Just wait until Hollywood Brown gets back. Travis Kelce, all he's got to do is run 5 yards, turn around, Mahomes is going to hit him. And Mahomes is great. Their offensive line is good. Their defense is good. Their coordinators are good. They get away with calling timeouts. They get all the calls. I mean, it's Kansas City's world, and we're just living in it.
Bonte, I hate them so much.
He's the greatest player I've ever seen. I'm already ready to crown it. There are certain guys that you see in real time, and you're like, yeah, this is just different, and we can see where this is going. I don't even care if he wins another one. I think he's the greatest player I've ever seen. I was telling Spadoni, I think if they truly wanted to, and it was do or die every single week, I think they'd go undefeated. That's how good I think he is, and how good I think they are. They've got an unbelievable, iconic OG stadium that I'm jealous of.
Arrowhead Stadium.
It's one of the loudest, coolest venues ever. It looks amazing.
I can't wait to go there.
Their grass looks incredible. Yep. I'm envious of their grass. Okay? I'm not joking.
He's not talking about the stuff you smoke, folks.
They've got a defensive player in Chris Jones who literally is like, oh, your left guard's garbage? Yeah, I'm going to line up over him. Next play. Let me see if this right guard's any good. Let me line up over him. No, you get out of my way. I'm going to line up right over here. He's an all-time player. Complete badass. They lose Sneed, basically trade him away to Tennessee. They're like, yeah, we got some other guy you've never heard of, and he's going to be sticky man coverage all day.
Jalen Watson.
Right?
Sticky man.
And then they got three linebackers.
Trent McDuffie's pretty damn good.
No, McDuffie's outstanding. They've got three linebackers that no one's going to talk about. Bolton, Karlofkis, and Chenault, who just run around and thump people. Just great players. Relentless pursuit. And they're going up against a guy in Lamar Jackson, poor Lamar. And, like, let me lay this out. James Harden and Chris Paul were much more unlikable than what Lamar is.
Yeah.
But there's this poor guy element to Lamar. I'm watching one of the greatest players I've ever seen. And the gap between him and Mahomes could not be farther. And he's amazing. On a field of Adonises, okay? No, but he looks like a varsity player going up against a bunch of eighth graders, doesn't he? I mean, he does. I mean, he can't hit the right side of a barn sometimes. Accuracy.
Yeah, I know.
But that team's going to win 11 or 12 games. Baltimore's really good.
I know.
Really good. I mean, maybe they win some playoff games at Mahomes isn't around. They're a really good team. Mahomes and that offense, and this goes back to the weapons, and I know I'm laying this out. Rasheed Rice looked incredible on
Slants. Butterfly number one.
And now I get why D'Amino Lenore was begging the defensive coordinator to line up against him exclusively in the slot. Like, he was their guy. Last year was a year to beat him. They had no outside threat. And now they got Xavier Worthy. He only made a couple plays, and they're both touchdowns yesterday.
But you know what? You have to respect his speed.
Well, of course.
You have to respect his speed.
He weighs 130 pounds.
If it goes single coverage on him with a safety, he's going to run right by you.
Yeah, obviously.
I'm telling you, Shasky, they don't even have Hollywood Brown yet. He's another speed. I know you don't like Lionel Brown, but he's a damn good player.
Smith-Schuster dropped the ball in the end zone.
I know.
All right? And then they got Noah Gray, who I don't even know if he's any good, but he's great as a two, you know? And then Kelsey didn't even do anything last night. Pacheco, they found Pacheco in the seventh round. And then I'm looking at their offensive line. They drafted the center a couple of years ago. He looks like a stud.
Creed Humphrey out of Oklahoma. He's a baller.
They just
extended him.
They got a left tackle who had like 30 dropbacks last night and like a handful of pressures.
Right.
And against a defensive line.
Joe Thuney, right? And he missed the Super Bowl. Remember, he missed the Super Bowl against the 49ers.
Ponte.
He didn't play.
Ponte. They are the Madden team that is favored to win every single game. That, the draft's coming around. Everyone that they get, 9 times out of 10, you're like, yeah, that's going to work. That's going to work because, you know, Andy. And then Andy's sitting on the sideline and he's going over the iPad.
And they're letting Spagnuolo, they're letting him call timeouts as his assistant coach. They get away with, they called so many illegal formations on Baltimore. And I'm looking at Kansas City. I was like, are they going to call anything? Are they going to call anything?
The sad part is that Steve Young was right. Everybody else was right. And look, maybe stuff happens throughout the year. Last year was the year to beat him, though. It was just so the year to beat him was last year.
Yeah,
and the Niners had him. And it's just, I'm never going to get over it. And the part that drives me nuts is they play a brand of football that I love. And that's the part that I watch them, they're a physical elite defense that is completely underrated with an all-time quarterback who has the greatest pocket feel I've ever seen. We talk about throwing on the run. No one throws on the run better than him.
You know,
he's like ding, ding, ding. He's unreal. I hate him.
510 makes a good point. Xfinity Mobile text line. Lamar is Manny to Mahomes is Brady. And I think that's a good call. Now, Manny took a long time to win a ring.
Phil Mickelson.
I wouldn't call out Lamar winning the ring yet, because as he airmails Zay Flowers in the back of the end zone on the play before the last play of the game, he throws an absolute dime to Isaiah Likely. The touchdown play to Isaiah Likely, where he rolls around, he sees Bolton back turn to the play, throws a dime, Likely makes a great catch after runs after catch. He was awesome, an unbelievable play. Lamar was special. Over 100 yards rushing, special? Nearly 300 yards passing. He was unreal, and he was throwing. Basically, he was running screen passes and swing routes the first three quarters of the game. It's like, dude, push the ball downfield. But Baltimore, and I was watching this early on, and I was thinking to myself, they always feel like they're a wide receiver short. Wide receiver short. They've got to get a playmaker quietly. I was texting my boy Harry Barrison yesterday, and I thought, I didn't want to put these out in the airwaves. As we talked about Brandon Ayuk possibly getting traded to Pittsburgh.
Thank God they didn't.
In Cleveland.
It's a playmaker league.
It's a playmaker league. Also, I'm a little surprised, and I don't know if that, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But I'm a little surprised that the Baltimore Ravens weren't in on Brandon Ayuk.
Well, that's really interesting.
I was really. You don't think Ayuk really would fit perfectly with Lamar and Zay Flowers and Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews and Derrick Henry?
How good is Isaiah Likely? I mean, he kicked the Niners' butt.
He kicked the Niners' butt, but that's the thing. I'm watching both those teams, and you know, last year was a year to beat Kansas City. But damn. Do we forget what Baltimore did to the 49ers on Christmas night?
They dismantled them.
I didn't want to play Baltimore in a Super Bowl.
I know.
That's a bad matchup for
Kyle
the 49ers.
Kyle Hamilton's so good.
Kyle Hamilton was everywhere. Their defensive line was – they got Ojabo from Michigan. He's going to be a stud. I mean, the other guy on the other side is going to be a stud.
99 is a monster. I mean – how do you say his name?
They got Ojabo on one side. And then who's the other guy?
He changed his name.
A D-tackle. That's a D-tackle. Nobdy. I'll just say Nobdy.
I'll say this, that, and Roquan Smith is unreal.
Sideline to sideline.
What happened in Chicago?
Well, I don't know. Well, the game I was at in Chicago when Trey Lance was getting popped left or right, guess who was popping him left or right? Roquan Smith.
Oh, he's a monster. And Roquan Smith goes
sideline to sideline.
Patrick Queen left in free agency.
Odafe Owe. Okay. Number 99. Yeah, that's number 99.
He's sweet.
You got David Ojabo from Michigan, who played alongside Aiden Hutchinson.
So I got him confused.
Then you got Nnamdi, number 92, inside, who's a monster.
Michael
Pierce, number 58, is 350 pounds. Running down running backs and quarterbacks. He's a monster. Those were two titanic teams.
100%.
And yet, when you watch that game, I'm thinking to myself, Baltimore's lucky to be in this game.
Well, yeah.
Because it felt like Kansas City left a lot of food on the table.
I hate them so much. But I go back to this. Like, I look at what's the one team that actually can line up across the board with Kansas City? I do think it's the Niners. I do. I look at their personnel, and I say to myself, okay, to me, it's a passing league, and it's a weapon league. You got to have 3, 4, 5 weapons on offense for me to even consider you. So the more I think about it, like, oh boy, my Buffalo, you know, bold predictions aren't looking good. I don't think they have firepower. I don't think they have enough firepower. And I look at Baltimore, and you say, oh, they're a receiver short. There's not a question in my mind that they're not a receiver short.
Well, here's the deal.
They're going to win 11, 12 games.
I mentioned this last, because we always argue about, you know, whether it's basketball, whether it's football. You know, this whole old adage that defense wins championships.
Yeah.
So the Minnesota Timberwolves are a great little example here. They're number one defensive team in the NBA. They got undressed by the Dallas Mavericks. Undressed. What beat the Dallas Mavericks in the NBA Finals? Sure, Boston was really good defensively, but their 5-out offense and their ability to dribble, drive, penetrate cooked the Dallas Mavericks. There's a scout. And I mentioned this last year. And a lot of people kind of frowned upon it, but look, in the defense, in the NFL, you need defense. There's no doubt about it. You need to make plays.
Situational stops.
You need to make plays.
You're not holding teams to 8 points a game.
But the scout told me, he goes, you know, Bonte, if you don't have an offense, you've got no shot in today's day and age.
I completely agree.
And the offense sputtered in the Super Bowl against these same Kansas City Chiefs. You need the third down passing attack. You need vertical passing games. You have to be able to push the ball down the field and get big chunk plays like the Kansas City Chiefs, where they're doing it with Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy. You have Isaiah Likely, whatever it is, Zay Flowers. You have to be able to push the ball down the field. But your offense sometimes has to be your best defense. And at times last season with the 49ers, their offense was their best defense. score 30, score 35, because they put so much pressure on you offensively to where your defense is sitting back. They got a 7-0 lead, a 10-0 lead, a 17-0 lead, and they're saying, oh, we just got to get after the quarterback. It changes the entire game plan. Yeah. And think about how much pressure was on Baltimore to try to keep up with Kansas City last night. So offense, you know, yes, you need situational defense. You need to be able to get stops.
Situational stop.
Hold teams at three in today's day and age.
I agree.
But you better have some playmakers, and you better have some explosiveness on the offensive side of the football.
Well, and what Baltimore got was the turnover, right? Yep. And you need to be able to create turnovers because you're going to give up yards. Like, the days of we held them to 140 scrimmage yards, it's just not going to happen.
Over.
It's just
going to give up 250 yards of passing. You're going to give up close to 100 yards.
Yeah.
Teams are going to move the ball left and right.
Well, and this goes back to I look at the 49ers and I say to myself, like, all right, everyone like, oh, this is Debo's last year. And he even got asked the question. No, it's not. They need all their weapons.
Yeah.
They need to be 3 and 4 wide receivers deep in perpetuity, like forever. And you know what we don't have? We don't have a second tight end. And that's an area. And that's how deep you have to be on offense now. Look at Houston. Look at Green Bay, how many wide receivers they have. All of the teams that you consider to be contenders have 5 weapons on offense. Now, the Niners have elite weapons. But, like, that's how deep you got to go, because if your guy gets knocked out for 2 or 3 plays, you better have somebody who can get open.
You need Jacob Cowley to pop.
I agree.
You know what? Ricky Pearsall being on the field.
Jordan Mason to have a monster year.
Especially with the Achilles injury that popped up on the injury report.
You know, one more thing I have to bring up.
But the Chiefs defense, real quick, you see the graphic when they were talking about the playoffs, and they had the defensive players in the classroom.
It was incredible.
And they had the chalkboard. NBC does a great job with their graphics. It's unbelievable.
I think Mike Tirico is the most underrated broadcaster.
He's no longer underrated. I mean, this guy may not, football may not even be his best sport, Chasky.
Everybody tries to pretend. And Al Michaels had a great career. Mike has been better than Al for a decade.
Dude,
like, what are we watching?
Mike Tirico, this may not even be his best sport, and that's saying a lot.
He's amazing.
I saw this guy in the Kentucky Derby, didn't skip a beat. I'm like, damn, Mike, what don't you do?
The sense of the moment, just the way he calls it in the moment, on the sense of
the final call.
A toe!
Yeah, no, but he set up the play. All of a sudden, they're getting to the line of scrimmage, and here we go. In the 105th season in the NFL, the first game of the season comes down to the final play. And then he lets it breathe, and he's like, Lamar, can you play the final call one more time? Because I had goosebumps. I text you guys right away. I was like, Mike Tirico's a god. He's unbelievable.
You know where I've seen him, Mike.
And first 4, Lamar trying to make magic happen. Throw it in zone. Likely 2 feet down. Yes! Touchdown!
That's Mike Tirico. But they showed a classroom, the little graphic with the classroom, and they got Chris Jones sitting at the table and Carl Office and all these guys. And you see the offenses they played in the playoffs. Buffalo, Baltimore, San Francisco. They allowed 15.8 points a game.
Yeah,
that their offense was a little behind standards, but below their standards in Kansas City. So, you know, when you look at the Niners, Jacob Cowing, Jawan Jennings, Chris Conley,
CMC
Jordan Mason, all hands off freaking deck offensively.
Okay, 2 quick points. I'll get to the NBC broadcast first. Collinsworth's kid with
Tony Dungy. Harrison and Tony Dungy.
I mean, what are we doing? Why are you going to Brazil in an empty stadium? What are we doing? Collinsworth's kid, get him off the broadcast. What are we doing? What are we doing?
He's technically a colleague of mine, and I think he's doing a great job in Sao Paulo. I think he's doing a great job.
Comb your hair. You need to work your way from the Big Ten Network up to NBC, all right?
Hey, listen.
You weren't good enough for the Notre Dame broadcast. That was clearly evident. You do not deserve to get, like, random. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of, gotta get my touches. Somewhere guru's in his head. Gotta get my touches. Get Collinsworth's kids out of here.
Hold on. Sao Paulo, Brazil. I thought Jack Collinsworth and Tony Dungy and Rodney Harrison set the scene very well with the scoreboard in the background.
Rodney
out there
Harrison's
in Brazil,
better than that.
You know?
And Tony Dungy, you're a great man. We all love you. My God, get my man an espresso. What are we doing? Wake up, bud.
Well, you know what time it was in Sao Paulo? You know what time it was? So they're an hour ahead of New York City.
Okay.
So right now,
our
clocks are working
stadium?
This morning. So it's 9:20 in New York. Right now it's 10:20 in Sao Paulo, Brazil. And I had to look this up on the map. I'm like, what time is it in Brazil? they're on the east side of Brazil, closer to the Atlantic Ocean. So, you know, Brazil is so big, and I'm thinking, okay, they're up late, man. They've been working late.
I will make the NBC broadcast perfect. Get Jason Garrett out of here.
No, Jason Garrett's pretty good.
Get him out of here.
Jason Garrett's good.
Who? Let's go to our coaching expert, Jason Garrett. That's like saying, let's go to seven-footer Joe Shasky. Like, what are we talking about?
Hey, I like Jason Garrett. I think he has a nice little smile. Princeton guy.
He wears a nice little blue suit. Stealing money.
No.
I mean, are you kidding me?
He is so good. I like him with Maria Taylor. Leave Jason Garrett alone.
Jason Garrett's terrible.
He is terrible.
Get Belichick on staff right now.
Well, he's with ESPN Tech.
Chris Sims, he wasn't a great quarterback. He at least says something. He says something. And then they go to Florio. Florio. I love Florio so much. Florio, I don't know how Rashee Rice is available to play in this game. You know, if this were a domestic violence situation, he's suspended for six games. He was only doing 185 miles per hour with his eight homies. And they're just going to let the legal process play itself out.
Well, you know what?
What?
Well, you know what, though?
And Rashee Rice, ding, ding, ding.
You know what's funny?
8,000 catches in the first half?
Well, 20 points of fantasy.
I know. I benched him in one league. I saw a meme after the game. Somebody tweeted out. I was like, I shouldn't be laughing at it. But it was like Rashee Rice after the game. And it was a car speeding and going over a hill catching airtime.
Hey, you know, here's my problem. There are so many really, 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 really good like broadcasters out there. Look, I'm just being real with you. Collinsworth kid has zero zap, dog. Wake up! It's always the nepotism kids who get a job and they're like, hi, I'm just here and happy. Dog, get somebody who cares.
Well,
get him out of here.
You got Ian Eagle's son, Noah Eagle, with NBC.
But he's good.
He's gonna be able to get, that's what I'm saying. But nepotism works two ways.
Yeah,
you can get your foot in the door, but if you're not good, people will find out real quick.
Yeah, they will.
But vice versa, you got a guy like Noah Eagle, he stole the show at the Olympics.
And he was incredible.
Stole the show. I could make the argument that it's harder for a nepotism baby to perform at a high level because the built-in pressure within the family, and then once you get a job,
then
it's like, oh my God, this guy got a job because of that.
Greenwald's son, Doug, you know, I understand that. Collinsworth's kid's gotten a lot of jobs he shouldn't be getting. All right, let's just call it what it is. There are so many people that I watch on college football game days, and I'm going to myself, how are these guys not getting more opportunities? That's all.
Yeah.
I'm deep in the weeds here. Collinsworth, comb your hair, bud. You're on TV. I mean, Jesus.
I think the hair looked good, man. The guy's fit. The guy's
get him out of here.
No body fat.
Him and Dungy, we love you. You're a great
there's
man.
There's no way. Hold on.
Man.
I'm calling cap
it's
on this.
Not good.
We're gonna do big caps and big facts. By the way, Frank Gore is gonna join us in 6 minutes. The inconvenient truth. Frank Gore is gonna join us in 6 minutes. Shout out to the U. There's no way Jack Collinsworth outrages you like that or triggers you like
when
that.
When I watch him, I go, why is he on my television?
Oh, my God.
He was so bad on Notre Dame broadcast one time.
Nobody
so
cares.
Bad.
There ain't nothing you can do about it.
Get him out of here.
Ain't nothing you can do about it, right? Ain't nothing you can do about
it. Monte, you watch college football like I do, and there are SEC games galore. By the way, CBS losing the SEC, what a mistake.
Yeah, I mean,
the
Big Ten doesn't hit the same on CBS.
There are so many good broadcasters that deserve opportunities. All I'm saying is that Collinsworth is not, he's not good. It's straightforward to me.
It's a bad joke on YouTube. This is a bad joke on YouTube.
This is so monotone.
Hey, this is a bad joke on YouTube. Off Freezy. KC got the fastest wide receivers in the league. Worthy 4.2. Rice 118 miles per hour. I mean, it shouldn't be laughing.
Isaiah Pacheco, how did he last to the seventh?
Well, Kansas City Chiefs win. Hell of a start to the football season. And we got a hell of a start to the show. Frank Gore will join us on the other side. Shout out to our friends at Flooring Water Plumbing Drain. If you're going to go into the roast, you better bring it. Because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flooring Water Plumbing and Drain. Frank Gore, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't time for you. Discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop. That's what's coming up on the game. Brought to you by Robert Half, Frank Gore, next.
This is Adam in the City, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
All right, this is going to be a lot of fun here on the River Islands Guest Line. One of my favorite 49ers of all time, no joke. I know he's from the U, Miami, and they got a big win in the Swamp. But the inconvenient truth, one of my favorite 49ers, and I got a Jerry Rice jersey on, I may love Frank Gore more. I may love Frank Gore more. I swear to God. But Frank Gore, and he's going to get to say, hey, what up, Frankie G? Before we set this up, man, you got a big day coming up on Monday. And I do believe it's going to be the first of two Hall of Fames for you. By the way, Monday, Frank Gore to be inducted into the Edward J. DeBartolo Sr. San Francisco 49ers Hall of Fame on Monday Night Football. It's going to be celebrated at halftime, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Number 21 jersey is going to be out there in full effect. And Frankie G, before we start, just want to say congratulations, man. This is long overdue. We're so happy for you, and I think it's the first of two Hall of Fames for you, brother.
I appreciate it. Thanks, man, and I'm very excited to be getting inducted to, you know, San Francisco Hall of Fame, 49ers Hall of Fame. I can't wait to Monday night.
You know, Frank, I always felt like you just had great perspective. You're pretty much everybody's favorite 49er. Like, it's just you and Patrick Willis. And you guys represented so much to that era of Niner fans. But tell me, like, you worked with Tom Raftman so long. And when I say Raftman to Niner fans, it's like, oh, my God, just old school, heart, blood, and tears. What did Tom Raftman mean to you in your career, Frank?
And people don't know this. Tom went to Nebraska. I went to Miami, you know. So, you know, when he first got there, he kind of like, you know, we kind of bumped heads at first. You know, because he thought, you know, that he feel like a lot of Miami guys talk too much. And but, man, Tom mean a whole lot, man. When we first got there, he was very hard on me. He thought I, you know, wasn't going to break it and, you know, and buy into what, you know, what he felt about the game, and I did. But Tom came in my career at the perfect time because I already made Pro Bowls. And when he got there, he didn't care. And, you know, when you make Pro Bowls, when you're a young kid, younger than the league, 21, 22, you can get complacent and think you know, bigger than what you are. And Tom won't let that happen for me. He challenged me every day. He was real when I didn't play good. He taught me big picture of the game. And even when I left the 49ers, I played six more years by going off Tom Raffin, the way Tom Raffin looked at the game. And I'll say that, man, Tom was big in my life, my career. Tom, I look at him as a father right now, man. I'm very tight. We still talk. But, yeah, he meant a whole lot to me, him and his family.
And you know what, Frank? I think Tom feels the same way about you. We spoke to Tom about 3 years ago, and we brought your name up, and he choked up. He started crying on the air thinking about you because you were a three-down back, because you did run for 16,000 career rushing yards, third all-time in the NFL. You did run for over 11,000 with the 49ers. He choked up thinking about you. Now, I'm going to ask you, did you choke up seeing Patrick Willis get inducted this past summer in Canton, Ohio? Because I saw you guys, man.
When I heard the speech and...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh,
I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom? Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You know, it made me think about, like, even myself coming up as a young kid, what I had to deal with. And now I see, you know, why he was the way he was on the field. You know, Pat, the guy who I respect, I tell everybody, Patrick was the first guy, because, you know, us Miami guys think football made in Miami. He was the first guy I had to call back home and say, bro, I found the guy who, not from Miami, who a baller, man. Pat, a guy who, like a brother, man. I respect him to the fullest. I'm very proud of him, and he deserved every accomplishment he got, because the way he came in, the way he came, stepped foot on the practice field every day, you would think that he was trying to make the team every day he stepped foot on the field. And that's why he was so great at the position and playing the game of football.
You know, Frank, I always tell Shasky this. And one thing, when you get inducted to a Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, that's when I'm going to make my trip to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, because I want to see you get inducted, check it out or whatnot. But two, I always tell Shasky, one of my favorite moments of your career wasn't even a play. It was in the Georgia Dome. You guys come back 17-0 in the NC Championship game, and Patrick Willis is getting interviewed, and you run up on him and go, Pat, we going to the Super Bowl, and you hug him, and you had your son, You remember that moment, Frank?
Because, man, you got to think about, you know, the core of the team, me, Patrick, Vernon, Alex Smith, even though he didn't play, he still was the core of that team. And we all was young, bro. You got to think about how, when we was young, we were the laughing stock of the league. And, you know, the 90s just believed and kept us together. Scott McCoy dropped the majority of that team. And probably like five, six, seven years in the lead. And, you know, we got a chance to show them what we had in the locker room when Harbaugh got there. You know, to show what type of talent we had, show them what type of dogs and what type of, you know, the type of guys we had in the locker room, and we, you know, being the laughing stock, and now the same guys who been together for six, seven years now get a chance to go, you know, to the Super Bowl. Man, that was one of the best. That is the best. That game against Atlanta, that's one of the best time I had in my career, man. To celebrate that with my guys who I love like brothers, who I always respect, and yeah, that's a great feeling.
Frank, you got me going down the nostalgia route, and I'm thinking about all those great games at Candlestick. And the final game ever at Candlestick, the pick six or the pick at the stick with Bowman, got the game ball in the post game, and I believe you gave it back to Denise DeBartolo. But that's not what I want to ask you about, because Candlestick was a special, special place. I know you played in the final playoff game, got that swing pass early in the game from Kaepernick. I think one of the greatest games that you guys all ever played in was the New Orleans Saints game, where we were breaking that long, long drought. Was that the best game at Candlestick, like the Vernon catch? And I mean, God, I got goosebumps.
That was an all-time great. You know, when they pull up the craziest games, they're gonna put us up there, and that was in 2011.
Yeah,
And that's when. That year, when it was lockout year, Harbaugh first year, you know, nobody knew what to expect from Harbaugh. And he didn't know what to expect from us. But I think, you know, I would say, and he'll say it himself, he came in a great situation. He came with a bunch of dogs, like I always said. Scott Trent, you know, did a great job putting us together. And Harbaugh came with his coaching staff, who I love to death, Coach Harbaugh. And we all clicked, man. It was a perfect click. You got to think about it. No off season, yep.
You guys are practicing at San Jose State, Frank. You're at San Jose State practicing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No off season, and we got the camp, and we just all we've been into hardball and his coaching style, and we just clicked, man. And I would say the turnover came when we played in Philly.
Yep.
We were down, I think, 17 or something?
Yeah, it was 20-3 or 23-3.
Jeremy Macklin
fumbled.
And we all looking around, don't know what to expect, walking into the locker room, no new coach. We didn't have to deal. I think we lost one game
Lost to Dallas. Yeah, you guys beat the Cincinnati.
So we were going into the locker room, everybody looking at each other, and Hardball got up there and told us we had to make these adjustments. We got to do this, and we got to start fast. Second half, we did. And from that Philly game on, man, we went on for 2 or 3 years, man. Strong.
Yeah, no. I remember you guys ran the clock out. You had the first down. You guys all set first down.
Yeah.
The victory formation. And Niner fans started believing after that one, Frankie G.
Yeah, that was the game that turned us around, man, for a couple of years, man. But that New Orleans game probably one of the best games that in the Candlestick, I would say.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. The Dante Whitner hit, just the all-time play. Frank, they're back. I mean, they are back. Cam Ward looked incredible, but that's not the question I want to ask you about. Do you think that your University of Miami team, that 0-1 squad, do you think you could have beat the Niners?
Huh?
Yeah.
Man. I would say. What year? What Niner year?
Tell me anyone one of the early versions, the 05 or the 0. That 05 team was not good. I love you, buddy.
That's not a good team. Yeah. Well, I would say because I would think we have more talent than that team. But only thing, the trenches, they had Brian Young, when young kids come in the league, especially up front, that, you got to at least give them two years to get, going. Some of them, not the great ones, but some of them. And I would just say, the trenches probably would have been the hard because, it's different. We're going against grown men. But I would say the Niners would have had a complete 05 team.
I love it.
We had some special guys on that team, man. Special guys.
Frank Gore joining us on the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? You know, Frank, when you were in the NFL, you were the last of a dying breed. And what I mean by that is you were a true three-down back. You played on first down. You played on second down. You played on third down. You call passes out the backfield. You are a great pass blocker in the backfield. I remember I hear about the Raiders practice and the scrimmages where you wore their linebackers out and Mike Singletary had to pull you out the drills because you were just laying them out.
Rockman took you out.
I heard the story. I was like, dude, you were wearing these dudes out. You played as a three-down back. Christian McCaffrey, we see him now. What do you think about him, Frank? Yep. Because he's kind of like you in terms of a three-down back, and he's explosive as well, and a lot of Niner fans love him.
I love him, man. My first time meeting McCaffrey when I was playing for Buffalo, and we had a joint practice. And, we split fields. So after practice, I hear everybody saying, oh, man, just raving about him. And I was like, man, I guess he was a rookie. What rookie year was what year?
2017.
Okay, so that's probably his second year because I was in Buffalo. The second or third year, yeah. So everybody raving about him. But so I said, man, let me go check him out, man. I checked the film out after our meetings. I went to I just wanted to, see what everybody was talking about on our defense. And, man, when I saw his film, bro, I said, I got to go up to this kid, man, the next day. The next day, I went up to this kid, and I said, bro, man, the way you play the game, man, and how you practice, man, you're going to do some special things. And, that's why I'm not shocked that all the accomplishments he's getting, the way he plays, especially now I see it, when I'm out there at camp, the way he come to work every day is the right way. And when guys respect the game the way I did, the way he respect the game, man, I'm all for him, man. I'm happy for him. You know, I just want them boys to go out there. And I want him to go out there and kill it for me, get it this win before I can have a big celebration to, when I get inducted into the Hall of Fame. But yeah.
I can't wait for
it. Half the animal, his baller.
I know, I can't wait for it. Brock Purdy, come on. He's a guy you would have loved to have played with, right?
Yeah, I love Brock, man. I hate when people try to, you know, downplay him because of what pitch he was. He can't help with that. A lot of guys miss. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
How they try to judge, oh, he got players. I said, you got to have players to have success, bro. Like, if he was the first-round pick, nobody would stay the sub-base eight. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I like Brock a lot, man. He's a baller. I remember when the Dolphin game when I started quarterback, I hurt. And when I came, I'm in the suite with Jed. I'm like, man, Jed. You know, Evan, Brock Purdy got in the game. I'm like, man, I didn't know he was a rookie, bro. I said, Jay, who's this guy right here? He said, oh, I said, we're gonna be all right then, man, because the way he came in, he was poised, you know, he made throws, and we still won the game. And I was like, Jay, oh, we're gonna be fine, bro. You know, I don't think, you know, we're gonna have no problem at the position, just because how he came in that first game, when our starting quarterback got hurt, and he just took off from there. So, yeah, I like Brock Purdy a lot, man. He's a baller.
No doubt. You are a baller, and you're going to get your due Monday at halftime. You're going to address the crowd. You're going to be celebrated. Ceremony is also going to be streamed live on the team's Facebook, Twitter, X, and YouTube accounts for those not in the stadium.
Need everybody to wear 21 jerseys, man. Bring them out for me.
Oh, absolutely. Show me
support.
Absolutely. We're going to be giving you a standing ovation. We can't wait for it. Who you bringing out? Who you bringing out, man? You bringing out the kids? I know Frank Jr.'s on the Buffalo Bills practice squad. He looks good. He looks good, Frank.
I appreciate it, man. He'll be fine, man. Like I tell him, you know, he was kind of down, but I told him, bro, it's God plans, man. You show that you can play in the league, man. And, you know, we built for this, man. Nothing was given to me. Nothing they given to you was just different. I told him to keep his head down and, you show people you can play in this league. You know, you was one of the best running backs in preseason. When you're getting on drop, sometimes you get caught in the numbers game. But as long as you keep working, and he's going to be fine, man. I'm proud of him. I'm a proud father, man.
And we're proud of you, Frank. You're going to be inducted to the Edward J. DeBartolo Sr. San Francisco 49ers Hall of Fame, Monday Night Football. The Jets will be in town. The Niners will be playing. It's going to be rocking at Levi Stadium. We will be giving you a standing ovation. The 21 jerseys will be out. And this will be the first, I believe, of many Hall of Fames for you, Frank. This is just the beginning for you, brother.
It.
Thanks for the time today.
Huge fan, Frank. Thank you for the memories.
Thank you all.
Anytime. Frank Gore, man. Gosh. What a legend. The Inconvenient Truth joining us on the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? And on those bad teams, as he said, he always stuck out. He always got 1,000 yards. He always played hard. You always heard about him. They had to dial him back in practice because he wanted to take every single rep. Every single rep in that legendary practice. I heard it from people, my former broadcast partner here on 95.7 The Game. Because, dude, Frank Gore wore those linebackers out, including Kirk Morrison, our boy 5'2".
He had talent, right? And you got to have a baseline of talent to be in the NFL and to be a starting running back. But the way I look at it, in terms of just talent at the position, he didn't have the most talent. He wasn't the fastest. He wasn't the biggest. Wasn't the strongest. One of the most cerebral, instinctual players I've ever seen. And he never got squared up.
Never.
And I just love the way that he played. He represented so much of that blue collar candlestick tailgating atmosphere. Like Frank Gore of all the guys, as well as Patrick Willis. Like, Pat had all the talent, though. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, if you were lining up talent at the position, like, Pat's like the gold standard. Frank was never the gold standard in terms of physical raw ability. Mm-hmm. It's just he meant so much to so many people, and the way he went about his business in a me-first society, being so selfless, can you think of one time Frank was like, give me the ball, or, you know, snap his chin straps off, or I can't think of any of that.
The ultimate teammate.
Exactly.
Third most rushing yards in NFL history. I mean, he went to Indianapolis as a 33-year-old, ran for 1,000 yards. Went to Buffalo. Remember watching a Buffalo game? They were playing the Patriots. They lost a close one. But Frank Gore had over 100 yards. And I'm like, nobody runs for 100 yards against Belichick's defense. No. And Frank was out there making plays in Buffalo. And they love him in Buffalo. They love him to this day in Buffalo. And then just thinking about his journey. You know, we know about his story about his mother. We know about his story about his mother. We know about his ACLs and how at the University of Miami, his career got cut short. He was in a running back room with Willis McGahee and Clinton Portis. And he was going to beat those guys out. And his knee gave out on him. So when Scott McLuhan drafted him in the third round, everybody thought, oh, man, what a whiff. It's a terrible pick. This guy's not going to last a training camp. He lasted nearly two decades in the NFL. Yeah, unbelievable.
Shoulder surgeries on both shoulders, yep. I believe, early on in his career. I mean, his story is a legendary one. Yep. And he's just he's an all-time player, and it's just crazy to me. Like, he's the example in life of, like, just show up ready to go no matter what it is, and good things will happen to you. Obviously, you got to have a baseline of talent, but when you're obsessed maniacally with something, you can accumulate and achieve unbelievable things. And he's an all-time player. I think about all his little cutback plays where, you know, he's running, and then he would shield the ball with two hands so that he wouldn't get stripped, go down inbounds to keep the clock going. Just so many great plays. I always thought his hands were underrated.
Oh, he was very good. Very underrated receiver out of the backfield.
Yeah, like, I don't think we utilized him enough out of the backfield. I think his greatest play, and this is never, you know, this isn't going to get on the highlight page, it's the block on third down for Colin Kaepernick in Green Bay in that frozen tundra game where Harbaugh was wearing like 17 layers. It's freaking criminal that this guy doesn't have a championship ring.
No, he played his ass off in the Super Bowl. I remember the coin toss of that Super Bowl. I'm a weirdo. I remember these little oddities, right? In the coin toss, Terrell Suggs was one of the captains for the Ravens. And he's like trying to intimidate the captains of the Niners. And he's looking out and he's meme bucking. And Frank Gore is one of the captains. And Frank Gore just kind of looks at T-Sizzle, gives him a little head nod, smiles like, bro, I'm coming. I'm coming hard, bro. Like, you can't punk me. And he didn't punk him in that Super Bowl. And it is criminal that when he got down there inside the 10-yard line, he needed a blow. I get it. He needed a blow. But for him not to touch that ball down inside the 10-yard line and watching him walk off that field, it really hurt. It really, really hurt because they weren't the same after that. And hell, his fourth down play in Seattle, the final drive, people forget it. It would have been one of the most iconic plays in Niners history. Kaepernick flips it to Frank Gore on a 4th and 9. He gets like 16. And then the next play, Crabtree gets about 20, if I'm not mistaken. And it's like, oh, they're about to do this. They're about to beat Seattle.
They should have.
And, you know, so Frank Gore, man, one of my all-time favorites. And it's genuine with that one. And I've always said this. I said this for many, many years. You ask my guys, my best friend, Big Dog City. I said, I'm going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. First time I ever go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame is when Frank Gore is getting inducted. And whatever that is, could be in 5 years, could be in 10 years. That's when I'll go to Canton, Ohio and check out the Hall of Fame, is when Frank Gore is ready to give his speech for being inducted and getting his gold jacket.
You know,
he deserves it.
I think we talk a lot about, like, I've seen a lot of people talk about, like, oh, the Yorks, all they do is celebrate what happened before they actually took over. It is nice to see, and I know we're getting old, and that's a part of it, but it is nice to see that era get represented now, because that era meant a lot to me. Yeah. Like, of course, the 80s and 90s forged a lot of people's memories, but, like, the younger crowd, Sam Lubman, you know, and his era of guys like Frank Gore and Patrick Willis and Justin Smith, and all of those guys, Vernon Davis and Crabtree to a lesser degree, like that's who you came up rooting for. And that was the first good team in about a decade. So they mean a lot to people. And I still see a lot of Frank Gore jerseys, man. A ton of Frank Gore jerseys.
So I got Howard on YouTube asking me, what makes Frank Gore a Hall of Famer? Well, in his first 10 seasons, he ran for over 1,000 in 8 of those seasons. In 8 of those seasons. And the only reason why he didn't run for over 1,000 in 2010 is because he only played 11 games.
Well, here's what
I
would
say. He ran for 853. He was the ultimate teammate. He was a three-down back. You ask any teammate, any opponent, hey, Frank Gore, what about him? We got to bring our hard hats.
Ask Bobby Wagner. Ask his contemporaries. Ask them. You know, that's what I always say. Ask those guys. Here's my algorithm for Frank Gore. Online. You can't write the history of the 49ers without having Frank Gore in there. There's two sides of the ball. It's Patrick, during that era, Patrick Willis and Frank Gore, period.
I mean, we always talk about Jerry Rice at the age of 30 and what he did. Well, look at Frank Gore. He turned 30 years old. He runs 4.11.28. He's 31 years old. He runs for 1106 in his final season with the 49ers. And he was averaging over 4 yards a carry in all those seasons. So then he goes to Indianapolis. He averages 3.7, comes up short of 1,000. He has 967 in 16 games. Was a good team. Then he runs 4,000 as a 33-year-old, averaging nearly 4 yards a carry. And then he goes to Indianapolis again, almost runs for another 1,000 yards. It goes for 961 at the age of 34 years old. Old man Frankie G, his final year in the league. All right, he only ran for 3.5 yards a carry, 653 yards rushing as a 37-year-old in the NFL playing running back. When they all said, hey, when a running back turns 30, that's when you're not going to get the best of them. So, look, Roger Craig deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Frank Gore deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. All right, he's on the all-decade team in the 2010s, okay? Like, he's not a Hall of Famer? You know what? If he's not in the Hall of Fame, then maybe I'm never gone. that's just my opinion
on
it.
He has 16,000 rushing yards. Going into the Hall of Fame.
He's third all time.
What are we doing?
Well, so there's a
241 starts at running back. All time.
He's not Hank Aaron in that sense, but there's a Hank Aaron-like quality where Hank never led the league in home runs in any year,
right?
But when you have the longevity and the consistency over X amount of years, because you can make an argument, he was never the best running back at any singular time. Well, yeah, you had obviously Adrian Peterson out there, but I know there are other quarterbacks in the NFL who were never the best quarterback in the league and have gotten into the Super, like, for example, Eli Manning will probably be a Hall of Famer at some point.
He wasn't the best quarterback in the league ever.
So we do these definitive things, and it's like, no. I look at his consistency over decades. Frank Gore is an all-timer, and what he did in the playoffs as well for that team. Look, you are the greatest runner by numbers in 49er history. Look at who they have in their running back room. All right.
And into the playoffs.
Joe the Jet Perry, John Henry Johnson, Roger Craig. Like, just look at it. It's a who's who.
Well, you look at the playoffs, too. Two games in 2011, he averaged 5.5 yards a carry those two playoff games. All right? The next year, 2012, in three playoff games, he averages 5 yards a carry and runs for 319 yards in the playoffs.
The dirty bird in the end zone in my head.
Like, let's stop playing here. So that's, in my opinion, what makes Frank Gore a Hall of Famer, Howard.
Tell me you didn't watch by telling me you didn't watch.
Yeah. All right, what's coming up on the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service bank with no compromises. We'll continue to get ready for the New York Jets. We'll continue to get ready for them. Stu Gotts is going to join us at 8 o'clock. We got Shameless Shoutouts coming up. Line them up, 7:45, Shameless Shoutouts. High school football's back. We got big games in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Dallas Al Sarah out in Concord. Man, we got some monster matchups. Shout out your high schools. Shout out to being back in school. Everybody's back in school right now. Things are booming. Football's back. We'll continue to break down the Chiefs and the Ravens. 888-957-9570. What was your first impression of the Chiefs and the Ravens last night? I want to hear from the fans out there here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh,
I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.